Welcome, everyone. It's Parkside Today on WIPZ FM, featuring conversations with members of the UW Parkside Learning Community. I'm John Melke, and it's my pleasure to welcome Louise Loud and Dennis Schultz, lecturers in the UW Parkside Criminal Justice Department. Also joining us is Tara Wendricks, a 2001 alumna of UW Parkside who supervises internships with UW Parkside students in the Department of Corrections for Probation and Parole. Louise, Dennis, and Tara, welcome to UW Parkside Today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, to give our listeners a little bit more background, Louise, you teach a wide range of criminal justice courses, and you also serve as criminal justice internship coordinator. You retired as the director of the Division of Juvenile Probation Detention Services for the 19th Judicial Circuit Court in Lake County, Illinois. And you earned your Master of Science degree from Northern Illinois University. Dennis, you have many years of experience in the human resources profession, retiring as the director of Kenosha County Human Services. You earned your master's in counseling from the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. Congratulations. So the first question I have today is, recently the UW Parkside Criminal Justice Program celebrated its 20th anniversary. And talk a little bit about the significance of that milestone, not only for the institution, but also for students and alumni of the Criminal Justice Department. And Louise, if you want to lead off.
You know, after 20 years of service, we thought it would be a good idea to sit back and reflect on some of our accomplishments, as well as to give our staff and students, alumni, a pat on the back. That was well deserved. So that was one reason, just to reflect and look to the future and start planning for what is to come.
Okay.
You know, when we reflect, we were able to notice that we have had over 1,300 graduates from the department during that time. We were also able to recognize we have faculties who've been with us for the duration of that time period, which are milestones in itself. And then we were able to reach back and find one of our very first graduates from the department of that time, which is our alumni that we have here with us today. And we also was able to pat ourselves on the back, so to speak, because we are one of the largest majors on campus. So jump right in. You guys can chime right in here, Dennis, if you guys want to. We have one of the most diverse faculties within our department. We also have not just staff, but students and staff. And actually, we have one of the most impressive internship program. I'm not saying that because I'm coordinating that program, but because it is. I think the program have been around for a long time. Students really enjoy the program, and we've been able to really connect with the community. So we're very proud of that. So it was a time for reflection.
Tara, as an alum of the program, what does that 20-year mark mean to you?
First, that I'm getting older. It's been almost 20 years since I've graduated already. Scary. What it means to me personally and professionally is I started, what got me roped into community corrections was the criminal justice program at Parkside, coupled with the internships offered. There's a wide range of things to go into in the criminal justice system. I ended up interning with probation and parole and was hired right after I graduated from Parkside, and I've been there since. So if I was not afforded that opportunity, I might not be in the career path that I am now.
And how does, just to kind of follow up on that a little bit as the alumna of the program, the fact that the criminal justice program has been successful, is one of the most popular programs here on campus and has been for 20 years, that must say speak to the the respect that the program has in the community and the credibility of the program for different law enforcement and criminal justice factions within our communities.
Yes, so the criminal justice program in particular here at Parkside has such a diverse, has just so much diverse classes. You can delve into community corrections, which is what I do. You learn a little bit of law, you learn some sociology, you learn about the juvenile system, and all those pieces together just offers a real enriching experience.
And Dennis, what does that milestone mean to you?
Well, being one of the newer kids on the block, I've only been at Parkside for 6 years. The thing that drew me to Parkside was there are 9 adjuncts who have been working here for, you know, many, many years. Mm. And that's unusual in a university setting. But these adjuncts all come from various disciplines, like me from Human Services, Mike Gravely from the DA's office, Peg Kendrigan from Contract and Services. I'll go through the list. Rebecca Sear, as a researcher, Julia Stark, Department of Corrections. We've got Gary Eckstein, who worked in the Human Services and Disability Services for many, many years. And I'm going to forget someone, so I'm going to just look a little. We can't forget Ms. Loud. But that just tells you there's 9 out of like 14 people who are adjuncts. And one of the things that my students always kind of talk about at the end of the semester when there's evaluations done is I really enjoyed Mr. Schultz's stories because we tell a lot of stories from our experience and it makes it very relative to these kids. I really enjoy this. As a second career, I prefer this, quite honestly.
And bringing that professional experience to the classroom would seem to be a value to the students that they're learning from, hearing from people who have been in the community, have been working in the criminal justice field, and that has to be a value to the students, correct?
Yes, and we tie it into the theoretical and research perspective as well. We're not just out there touting our horns as to we were practitioners and everything else isn't important. The whole part of this is tying it into a more complete educational experience.
Well, it helps the student to connect theory to actual practice.
Mm-hmm. And did that, as a student, Tara, how did that impact your experience or affect your experience learning from people who you knew had this professional experience?
It made it more real. It wasn't just someone preaching out of a book. It's more than just reading. It kept all the students engaged with what was going on, and it also provided ideas because they were from so many different factions of the criminal justice world. Okay, yes, I can do that, or I can go into this career path, and it just opened your eyes to different opportunities that maybe you didn't know existed, because when I entered the criminal justice program, you just think, okay, criminal justice, police officer. Well, there's a whole bunch of other careers that go along with criminal justice besides law enforcement. So having everyone from the different sectors really resonated.
And we're going to talk a little bit later about some of the career opportunities for graduates of the criminal justice program, but tell me what each of you and Dennis and Louise, maybe more this question directed more at you, what is the academic philosophy or foundation of the criminal justice department, and why do you think the criminal justice department and the program here at UW-Parkside is so well respected?
Go ahead, most senior.
Actually, the foundation is a liberal arts foundation with the social science, from the social science discipline. But I think what really attracts the students is the diversity within the field of criminal justice. It's not just about policing. Once upon a time, I think criminal justice majors' focus was policing. So if you were a criminal justice major, the assumption was that you were going to be a police officer. Well, I don't think that's the case today. I think today the approach is the criminal justice system. So I think we have approached the criminal justice system as a whole in terms of our students, and we expose them to every aspect of that system. And we allow the students to view the system. And I think what Dennis was alluding to, the diversity among the staff and the adjunct faculty that we have, and the walk of life that they have entered, and their careers, they bring it into the classroom. And students have an opportunity to see the diversity within the field of criminal justice. So, and through the internship program, we refer students to agencies other than policing. It's not just about policing. It's about juvenile services. It's about human services, which is the aspect that Dennis brought into the department. When he came, because he came from human services, the juvenile aspect, so he brought all of those aspects to the department. So we were able to use those sites as internship sites. So students was able to see that criminal justice majors fit into that field very well. We also have interns who are working at banks, local institutions, banking institutions, where they now know that they can also go into the frauds department at local financial institutions. So it's not just policing. So I think that's one of the philosophies of the department now, is that we're not just about policing. We have interns at the medical examiner's office, probation, juvenile services. So we are throughout. So I think that's one of the philosophies of the major.
And Dennis, maybe you can speak to this a little bit, kind of a follow-up to what Louise has just said. When new students come into the criminal justice program, do they understand that? Do they understand the diversity of the professions, career possibilities that exist? Or are they thinking, oh, criminal justice, that's policing?
They don't understand it when they're coming in, but shortly thereafter. I think Louise and I and many of the other adjuncts view intro to criminal justice as a way to hook the students into the major. We make it very interesting. We tell them what the potential is other than just law enforcement. And quite honestly, just a few weeks ago, some of Louise, her older students came in, five of them, and they were all protective service workers in the Department of Human Services, you know, which is amazing. And then we move on. And once you get them in, then they're going to take your other class, like Louise's victimology, or my race, crime, and law, or my juvenile delinquency. And we continue to have the students buy into a more diverse opportunity. And then we tie it up with the internship program, and we really emphasize that. Now, Louise has been the boss of this for 200 or 300 years. And
never listen.
That's a long time.
I have the opportunity this summer to do the internship program, just for the summer. And it's always meant quite a bit to me, because I was an intern, the first intern from Whitewater 300 years ago. And I've never forgot the experience. And I think it directly had everything to do with, you know, getting your foot in the door and then making the best of it.
And Tara, what about, did you experience or feel that way when you first came into the criminal justice program? Or did you kind of know where, or have an idea of where you wanted to go?
I had no clue. I took a bunch of different, well, not a bunch, but a couple of different intro classes. And as he had said, that's the intro class is what hooked me. After I was in that class, I'm like, this is the field for me. So then that just springboarded to me taking more and more classes and, you know, turned into what I majored in. And the internship did bring everything together.
So there's another side of the academic program, and that's the partnerships, the community partnerships, the internships, bringing guest speakers in. how do you, Louise, how do you generate those kinds of partnerships? What does it take to build that?
Hard work.
Hard work works well for a lot of things, doesn't it?
I think hard work, and what I've relied upon, is my students, my past students. Like Kara, she's a supervisor now for our interns. Mm-hmm. She was an intern. And I have several like that. You know, and I think that's what it's all about. Once you make the community connection, once you get to know the people, and once you get your interns become employees and progress and with the company, they then become internship sites. And mentors for new students. And that's what it's all about.
And had I not had that connection, I might not have wanted to have interns in my office. Our agency allows supervisors to pick individually. Do you want to have interns? Do you not? Because of the increased workload. And I have a soft spot for interns because I was one, and I want to give them that opportunity. And so that's how that was formed.
And actually, she contacted us. She contacted me. She called me up and goes, hey, I was an ex-student. I'm ready for interns. She's a supervisor now, so she can, you know, which I thought was just excellent.
And Tara, you bring to that internship experience, looking back and saying, well, excuse me, here's what's important in an internship. And,
yes.
And it isn't just bringing someone in saying, okay, here, go over and do this. There is a responsibility on the part of the company, the department, to be able to offer a meaningful experience.
Yes, we cover a training for a risks and needs tool that we use. So the interns, as part of like that onboarding process, take that one-day training so that they're equipped to use those same programs that our agents are using. And there's definitely the boring stuff, the paperwork and the things like that, but we really try to make all the pieces connect. Like we deal with people post-conviction, but we want them to have a in-depth understanding about how all of us connect as agencies. So they spend time with victim witness, they spend time at the DA's office, they go to the public defender's office, so they get a wide range. And then because we have people that are on probation and parole, we always schedule a prison tour, and the last few times have been up to our max security one at Waupun, and then in Dodge Correctional where we do our intake. Mm-hmm. So we really try to give them a wide understanding of how all the cogs of the criminal justice wheel work together.
And Dennis, from the student standpoint, do you have students where either they're really eager to get involved in an internship, or where you need to maybe do some encouragement to get them involved? How do you see that amongst your students?
Oh, I give them extra credit. No. When we talk about what our experiences are, and we say that one of the most important things that can happen in an internship program, having been a former employer, is that you're going to work for someone. You're either going to do a very good job, and they're going to like you and give you a good evaluation. And then you can put on your resume that you have work experience. Mm-hmm. And then you can ask them for a letter of recommendation. And I explain to them that is as important as your grade point average, because when you walk in for that first interview for a job, you are going to be closer than anyone else because you've got credibility, you've got experience, and you've got someone attesting to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that sells itself. And then we do a couple other things. I actually take the kids on site visits. To the Racine Juvenile Offender Program or to the Kenosha County Detention Facility. We're going to be looking at Racine Juvenile Detention next week. Kids really enjoy that. And it's a little scary, but they just come back and they just can't stop talking about it.
And it, much like other programs where if you don't have that experience as a student and you think this is what you want to do,
right,
that helps you either say, yeah, this is the track I want to go, or I need to move in a different direction and to help make that decision.
Exactly.
So talk to me a little bit about some, and we've touched on it just a little bit earlier, but about some of the career options that are out there. It's not just policing. So what other career opportunities exist for today's criminal justice graduate?
I could start that. Probation, parole, of course, probation officers, intake, workers for juvenile court. I know in Lake County, we have a intake unit, so they hire probation officers to run those intake units. So they do all the intake, not the police officers, when it comes to juveniles. So that's another job. Social workers that works within juvenile facilities is another job. Also, what is happening within schools, especially junior high, I know in Lake County, they hire criminal justice majors in BD settings, behavior disorder classes. So that's another job opportunity for criminal justice majors. And of course, adult court services, victim witness programs hire criminal justice majors. The medical examiner's office, she was telling me when I did my, as a matter of fact, I have a graduate who did an internship with the medical examiner's office that got hired in the Milwaukee office. So that's another avenue I'm thinking of. Okay, and of course, police officers and FBI agents, border control. We just had a recruiter on campus for that position. They're recruiting right now.
And I have a couple of friends who are criminal justice majors, graduates, and one of them has spent part of his career in D.C. with Capitol Police, but then the other part of his career with in private industry, where private industry is looking for security officers, whether it be for, you know, for various parts of that business.
Right. And technology is really the number one job right now. Criminal technology, because they're hiring criminal justice majors to do, like, to deal with the whole issue of cyberbullying. Is a big issue. So I really encourage my students to take enrolled in computer programs, become literate in computers.
So what is the, what do each of you kind of see as what does the future hold for the criminal justice program in terms of the academic program itself, and also for the industry or the jobs, careers that will be needed 5, 10, 15 years from now? And I know if you knew that, then I would ask you about the particular stock price today or something like that. But
we're for community corrections, we're shifting into evidence-based practices. So we're a lot less punitive, whereas historically speaking, if someone violated their supervision, they're going to jail as a result. Now we're doing more troubleshooting, trying to figure out what is causing them to act out criminally, and trying to piece back together and help them rebuild their lives and do some cognitive work to restructure their thinking patterns. We're seeing a lot of probation officers taking on more of that social worky kind of role in working together with someone to keep them out of custody versus keeping them locked up.
From the human services point of view, and I think Tara would agree, there's much, much more collaboration going on between the DOC and human service agencies. When I teach my juvenile delinquency class, I say, I am a recruiter for you to become a juvenile probation officer because it is the best job in the world. And obviously I'm biased, and I spent much of my career doing that in various roles. But the whole issue, and I think where the expansion is going to be, will be in delinquency, because it is not punitive. It is treatment-focused, and it's all evidence-based. And it is a very expensive proposition for counties. I don't want to get into the whole issue of Lincoln Hills being 308 miles away and now closing and counties now having to come up with their own facility, which is a good thing. But it's going to be very complicated in how that is done. And I think counties are going to benefit by that, because all 72 counties are going to have some access or collaboration with facilities to do their own. And the key here, and again, me preaching about juvenile delinquency, is you have to keep the kid close to the family, and the ties have to be there. You can't separate them 300 miles and expect that kid to come back and make any significant change.
Mm-hmm. So the goal is, or should be, that the person is able to, whatever the mistake may have been, the person is able to get back to being a solid, positive contributor in society. And how do you do the best you can to make sure that that happens?
Right.
Shipping them away, not something that, right. that has the success there. And I've heard the term, Dennis, from you and Tara, from you, on evidence-based. What is that? What does that mean?
For us, we're figuring out what a person's criminogenic needs are. And we're using programming through the CARI group that we contract through to offer certain things that will, for lack of a better word, kind of go back and fill the holes that are missing in someone's life. So we do a lot of skills building. We do a lot of thinking reports. So if there's a violation, again, instead of putting them in jail, we're going over, okay, what were you thinking about before you did this? What were you thinking during it? How can we, what are some things we can do to prevent it? Let's problem solve together some other options that you could do rather than act out in this way. And it kind of builds them up and keeps them out of custody while learning new skills.
Mm-hmm. Or, again, for the juvenile component, you're always going after federal grants, and you have to show evidence-based, which essentially means, is it reliable? Are you, is it working? Whatever you wrote down, is this approach effective? And then, is it valid in that, can it be replicated? And if you show those two things, that's what this whole new treatment modality is about. And it's really not new. I mean, it's been around for years, but they've shown a lot of success with it.
Interesting.
And actually, along with that, what the future holds for us, I think in the college, is how do we provide courses that prepares our students for this workforce? And I think it, when you look at policing today, and we're really focusing on our students who aspire to be police officers. How do we prepare, you know, how do we offer coursework that really prepare our students to be quality, educated police officers? Considering what's going on in the ranks of officers today.
Right.
And I know we talk about these things with our students. What's causing some of these problems and how do you alleviate them? So I think all of that is a part of our future.
And without and I our conversation, as it usually happens, goes by much more quickly than I anticipate. I look over at the time and realize we have just a couple minutes left. But for each of you, what's your 30-second kind of elevator pitch for the student who's thinking about going into criminal justice? Thinking about it, what do you say to that student?
Come and view one of our classes. Call up any adjunct or any professor and say, you know, I'm on the fence. I'd really like to know a little bit more about it. We'll invite you to our class. We'll sit down and talk with you in our office. We'll meet you for coffee at a Starbucks or wherever. Mm-hmm. We really believe in what we do. And again, we always put the human aspect to it.
Great. Tara?
For me, it's helping people. It's a good way to help people.
Louise?
If you're looking for a career, criminal justice is a field. It's not just a job. It's a career. And it's one, and I really do think there's enough diversity that you will find something that will motivate you.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. It's been, I've enjoyed the conversation today. Parkside Today has been, we've been pleased to have UW-Parkside Criminal Justice Lecturers Louise Loud and Dennis Schultz. and UW-Parkside graduate Tara Wendricks. Dennis, Tara, Louise, thank you for joining us today on Parkside Today.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.